It's been another eventful week in local, regional and international politics. Let's get our Sunday dose of comment and insight from Neil De Beer, the president of United Independent Movement. Welcome, Neil.
Morning. Opie Boka, Springboks hooray. Congratulations, Mia Leroux, Miss South Africa, and a couple of more medals at the Olympics. So yeah, I think on all fronts, we ended up a week quite well.
Well, Neil, if you don't mind, I'd like to start our interview this week by asking you, how are you and Helen?
Sneaky. I think we're well. I can get a WhatsApp as usual. Lot of comments, though, and I see the comments these days on my interviews are growing, and people have now found my email address. And for that, 137 emails this week of suggestions, a couple of info hints, a couple of people squealing and telling me what things are. To them, I'd like to say thank you. This program has given me a platform to summarize. And Chris, it's always a privilege to be here. But people are saying, when am I joining the DA? When am I getting married to Zilla? How can I say she's not a racist? I can say what the hell I want to. But there's one thing I won't do, and that is lie. It's my perception. It's my view. And I think that's why we are here, is just to tell the hard truth. I will always be critical where people abuse power. I told you that in my stance, she is whom she is. But if I'm being forced with a gun to the head or a spotlight to the face, no, I'm not going to tell untruths about her. And I'll wind up by saying, I'll always be open for a scone and a cup of tea with Godzilla.
Well, Neil, let's look at the bed hopping that has been taking place in coalition politics this week, with Helen believing or being told by various sources that the Freedom Front and the African National Congress are in talks to oust the Democratic Alliance from municipalities in the Western Cape.
Yeah, two doctors going at it. Dr. Mulder, Dr. Burke. And may I say, don't know Dr. Burke from a bar of soap. Definitely no Dr. Courtney Mulder. It was very un-Dr. Mulder, the interview that I saw, because I know him quite well. I have sat with him, I have spoken with him, and obviously in the multi-party charter, I have dealt with him. He is most probably the longest-serving member of parliament in this country and a very astute politician. I see him rarely lose his temper. I see that statesman very rarely not become uncalm, if that's a word. I saw it here. I think what you saw in that interview was that the Freedom Front, don't forget, Bliss, is getting up and now saying, no, the continued rhetoric that was even spewed at the multi-party charity level, where we all sat and also got handful of it, I can say, was the fact of the big brother syndrome. Maybe in this case, the big sister syndrome. Of continually, indeed, saying, but we're the biggest, we're the largest, we are the largest opposition, you are the minority, small. You can do that if in actual fact, de facto, you are. But at this current moment, even after the ANC took a massive tornado battering, they are still the largest party in South Africa. And the DA is still and was the official opposition. The Freedom Front Plus, make no mistake, also took a battering, but they are still regarded as a larger entity within the opposition political sphere. Now that they've joined the canoe, all of them are sitting there. They are getting into what I told you, Chris, entering the waves with a ski boat is possible, but the first five waves are going to rock the boat. You're then going to go into a lull until the next come. So I think we're in a lull now. Everybody's sitting and saying, hooray. Every minister's doing what they should do. But now inter-politics is at play. The Freedom Front Plus is getting up and saying, no, in Oudtshoorn, you did this, so we are going to do that. And that had a ramification of suddenly Dr. Mulder, who's leading the Freedom Front Plus in this province, getting up and saying, you're not going to have the title of the perfect governance within province and municipalities anymore. We are going to show you in Oudtshoorn that with our new partnership of the ANC, we are going to be the alternative for future government. That's caused a major rift. That's made not just Oudtshoorn collapse, but places like Langeberg and the rest of the places where they are in so-called coalitions. Chris, ruptions are coming, and I think the Freedom Front Plus is going to exercise their freedom.
Neil, let me take you to another raid of a training facility, this time not a secret military training camp, apparently, but an unauthorized firearms training facility linked to the right wing. What have you heard?
Yeah, Morimore, old Nailstrom. I think, Chris, what has happened is that we now have what they call a shark frenzy. There's blood in the water, and now every place where there's a hint, where there's a structure, where there's gunfire, and where there's seemingly camouflage, is now being sought after as a undercover pseudo-military camp. Now, I want to make it clear, utter rubbish, nonsense. The fact that they have now admitted, even the controlling entity, you interviewed the CEO of CIA, who, by the way, is the governing body of security and security apparatus training. They now are going and saying, seemingly, that if you are just told that there's a tent, a camouflage, a gun, and a target, it's now a military training camp. Well, I disagree. This country has been in the fold of specialized security training since I was born. You will also recognize that when it seemingly TRT, the Hawks, NDCIP, that hit this place in Morimore, when they arrived there, they could not find one illegal firearm. Hence, no arrests were made. And now they are trying to understand how did the firearms get there. That's the charge now. Not training, not illegal training. But Chris, we are stepping now into something where I call it murky waters.
Mm-hmm. I think it's about the issue now is firearms having been moved from KZN to
yes.
There. Is that correct, Neil?
That is the correct, but now we're really hunting down. I think, Chris, we've got to start understanding, and if you're not there, I'm going to spell it out into a segment which will run, I think, today under a thing called the Foreign Military Assistance Act 15 of 1998. I'd like to touch on that. So, Chris, here it comes. We had, since inception, since the early 60s, military training in this country for every single white adult, male, and certain females. We then had a sporadic new dispensation, I'm telling you out of experience, where the majority of adult males in this country were military trained. In 1994, when the flag went up and the other one down, these people didn't disappear, Chris. They didn't just go into life. They are still people that served in a wartime period. Many people found themselves out of job, out of sequence, out of future. And what happened, and you can argue with me, is when you say in Afrikaans, "Kun maker hou jou by jou leser." In other words, if you are trained to do something, keep with it. So what happened was we turned into mercenaries. We didn't turn into mercenaries. What happens if you are trained and you want to go practice such training and you get paid for it? That's what happened. People were drawn into foreign military zones, like Iraq, like Afghanistan, to go perform what they were trained for by the previous government, who now got disillusioned and formed a new government. And in 1998, they brought out a law. And that law stops any South African to go overseas and perform military duties in a foreign country. It's a law. But it doesn't stop the training. It doesn't stop who you were. You don't just cut it off. I'm one of them. So a lot of people that went overseas that wanted to practice what they preach were now found to be terrorists, were now found to be against the law. Now, that's a good and a bad thing. But Chris, I want to come back and tell you, the focus today in this country is not that Foreign Military Act. People must start understanding that our country is at war, Chris. We are in an undeclared domestic war. I make it clear. Our farm attacks are not being done with Ketis and Shamboks. They're being done with automatic rifles. Cash in transit are not done with 9mm. They are being done with AK-47s. Housebreaking, murder, assault. They are using weapons of war, Chris. Now, where do we, Citizen X, where do we get training to protect ourselves against this? So it's only clear that the people are focusing on the possible military response, the military aid, the military tactic, the training of mercenaries, overthrowing of government, etc. Put that aside. There could be, and I think they are, but this is not the point that I'm getting annoyed. I'm getting annoyed because Citizen X, the farmer, Joe Soap, the person that needs to be protected, where do I go and go to a firing range to protect myself against weapons of war? And I think Sira need to readjust. Sira need to get through this massive blood in the water scenario about military camps and aid. And I'll end off this charade because I am annoyed, Chris, because we are starting now to impeach on the legality and the people that are legal. Sira needs to step up and regulate. And secondly, the focus is not foreign. Chris, the law says we may not train foreigners into tactics of military warfare, but there's no law that stops South Africans, domesticated people in this country, us as natives, to be trained to protect ourselves. And whilst the police and the defense force need to revive themselves, and I hope they do, until then, we will need to be trained to protect our sons, our daughters, our wives, and ourselves.
But Neil, don't you feel that there has been a revival in the police force since the last Minister of Police bid us goodbye? Was he not an active obstacle to the fight against crime? It certainly seems so with everything that has been happening since the new Minister of Police has taken up his portfolio.
It doesn't seem so, it is. I mean, I am one of the people that said that Bheki Tafel Kistul Kitsele must go. Chris, I'll tell you what happened to him. He was a disgraced police commissioner who took away the civilian rank because, you remember, the police force went to the policing service. Generals became commissioners, and he didn't like that because he wanted the title general. It's rumored he changed the ranks back to a military rank structure from service to force so that he could be called General Tsele. And what happened to him was when he was told that he's incompetent, that he couldn't be there anymore. You remember there was that matter. When he became the Minister of Police, I think, Chris, he couldn't give up the title general. He wanted to be at every crime scene, every photo op, every parade, and still don the attitude of a general, which he never got the training for via police college in the first place. Now, I made a mistake where I kind of generalized and said, if you want to be effective in the police, get a person that was in the police to be the minister. If you want to have a great defense force, get a person that marched the parade and was in combat, etc., etc. But seemingly, now that the other one is gone, the new minister, Minister Mchunu, I think has a different style, Chris. He has a different attitude. He has a different way. And the rumor about him is that he is calm, cool, and very structured and collected. Now, I saw this, funny enough, at the parade in the preparation of the opening of Parliament, where normally the Minister of Police appears at Cape Town Castle's inner square, where all the police officers that are going to do the protection comes together, and the minister does a talk. The previous man screamed at them, boasted at them. This year, this new minister came up and said, do your work, do it well, and be proud of whom you are, in that tone. It's a different attitude. And no doubt, there are more raids, there's more focus, There's more understanding. There's more action. But the failure now is not the police seemingly building up the crescendo of fixing stuff. It is the internal failures. Two things this week, very bad. More than 80,000 dockets of murder shut since 2018, closed, as I understand, on a question in Parliament. And currently, when we had that incident in Khayelitsha and Cape Town, where the people fired at the police, where several suspects were murdered and shot, and some people saying, but it's murder, people saying it's in defense. I agree. When you pick up a gun, you shoot a police officer, you're going to get fired back. But here's the thing. The people that were arrested and survived were not charged. They were brought to court, and shockingly, they were actually told that their case will be struck from court because we delayed, apparently, to reach the 48-hour to let them appear in court. Shocking that now the justice system is now not supporting this new revived scenario. And I hope it fixed. I hope it gets fixed.
Yes. Ian Cameron, the chair of the Police Portfolio Committee, was the former police minister's biggest critic, but he believes the new minister is a doer. So he certainly has faith in him, Neil.
I think we must have faith. I think if there's anything this country currently needs, it's faith. It's faith in the new rejuvenation. I'm very worried about the Department of Defense, and I'm going to interact. But it seems there's a new whisper with Ian there, not saying that is why, but with Ian as chair, Minister Mchunu being there. And the attitude is changing, but we have to get justice right now. It doesn't help that you arrest, but on Tuesday they're out again. This is a vicious circle. So let's fix that. And Umpieter, let me quickly tell you, Umpieter Groenewald met him, got scolded by him one day, and it felt like I'm in front of my uncle when he came to me and he said to me, da 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 da, and I looked at him and I immediately went, jammer. Now, if I, who don't fear much, stood in front of Umpieter and apologized, fear those that are currently in jail. So it seems it's coming right. Prisons. Right. It's just
absolutely. Justice. Yeah. No, I think he's put the fear of God into prisoners. So they are suddenly in prison and not in a holiday camp. Anyway, Neil, I just want to regress a little bit back to KZN, where former President Jacob Zuma's party, MK, seems to be in some state of instability. Who is running the show there? And is there a revolt?
I think it's the daughter. I think this is it. I think it's not mince words. Tudizile is running the show. And Tudizile, what she says goes. So I think we've got a party that got more than what they thought they would. I was there. I was at the National Counting Center. MK was sitting right there because we all got desks at the election. And they got 1 million. Wow. 1.5 million. Whoa. And then when it went over 1.5, let me tell you, Chris, the face there, because he was sitting there, they were shocked. Rottweiler caught the bucky. Now, what the hell are they going to do with the bucky? So, you've got a problem now that MK received an overwhelming, unexpected support. Their structures were not ready. They can say what they want. They weren't ready. They were not prepared. And they are staggering at this moment to get their scenario sorted. Whilst that's going on, you also have to understand that the Zuma family runs this. It's theirs. And now what you've had is them rushing to get the right people in seats, finding out that some of them are not loyal. They remove them, and that's why we had the mass change again of parliamentarians. This is not going to stop. I think they need to settle. They are going to settle. They're going to get help. They have now cohorted with the EFF, the revolution is out. And now you've got to understand, I'll still stick to it, they're trying to get themselves organized because their massive first battle in the trenches will be 2026 to go into every municipality, and that will just be doomed. But yeah, I think she's blowing it, she's doing it, she's screaming it, she's directing it. So I fear if that is not going to mutate into a proper party, there will be disarray, and that will continue.
To leave South Africa briefly, Neil, Israel is going after Hamas and Hezbollah terror leaders in sort of Gideon style. What are the bigger ramifications?
Well, the bigger ramifications is now even being felt in the UK. This is I've got the sense this is a lifetime war. I've got the sense that no matter how much we do, even Russia, Ukraine, where there's escalations now, Ukraine going for it. Syria has always been on the go. You know, the matters in Africa, you've got there. But one thing we know is that the Palestine-Israel conflict, which the majority people who are not involved don't want to get involved, are now going to get involved. We had a flash of it in this country prior to the elections, where this Middle Eastern conflict between Israel and Palestine actually had a major eruption of that volcano. What's happening, though, is now it is not just Israel-Palestine. It is Hamas. It is Hezbollah. It is Iran. It is the factionalism that is spreading out. And now in all, may I call it, normal countries where the matters of religion were not in conflict, you can see it. You can see it in France. You can see it in Europe. And it's spilling over in the UK, of all places, where they have had the most brutal uprisings, conflict in the street, people dying, assets lost, and suddenly Keir Starmer, the new prime minister, that had to bring in this new wave of a stable UK, is now having to contend with a national revolution. And this is making the people across the world go, if this thing kicks off, this is going to be World War III, the mother of all wars. And we pray, no matter what God you pray to, that the people like you and I, that are sensible, that want to just get on with life, they call us the middle ground, that we will bring a little bit of peace and understanding. I fear, though, Chris, the end is not near in that country.
Well, Neil, anti-immigrant sentiment in that country and other European countries is growing. And the same thing is happening here in South Africa. X is trending. Home affairs, immigration, immigrants, xenophobia.
Chris, yeah. You know, I must tell you, a strange thing 2 weeks ago, a gentleman from Johannesburg, a Nigerian, called himself a Nigerian, got hold of my telephone and said to me, why am I making videos saying that the people from across the border should be chucked out? And I said, no, I didn't say that. I said, you should be forcibly, if necessary, removed. You should be arrested, incarcerated, and deported. So he was very shocked. And I said, but hear me well. Hear me. It's not because whom you are. You see, Chris, when we started giving immigration in this country a nationality, a race, we were doomed. I'm going to make it categorically clear, my statement in public and today. I don't care whom you are, Nigerian, Mozambican, Chinese, Czechoslovakian, Angolan or Zimbabwean. I don't care what your passport says you are. I care what it says in your passport. Am I clear? I don't care where you come from, but if you come from any country beyond the beautiful border of our country, the Republic of South Africa, and you do not have an official stamp in your passport that says you are legal here, you must go. Then you are illegal. Now, Chris, this is called law and order. But now that we make it a nationality, we make it a person, we make it a country, we've lost that battle. And I think I have understood when having a discussion with Leon Schreiber, knowing who he is. Leon is a person, I can tell you, again dealt with him, again met him and worked with him. He is a man that actually understands what the law is and order. I know him. So I think his job, and he's trying to do the best of it, and may I tell you, he's winning. Another win. Another change. He's killing backlogs. Now they say because he's white. Ach, what nonsense. Utter rubbish. I saw the post. That was because he's white. No, it's because he's diligent. I've met white and black diligent people, so stop that rubbish. If you are a person that gets off your ass, does your daily work to get your daily bread so that you can look after your daily family, don't make it a bloody race thing or says hurtful. So, yeah, there I go again. Poof. If you are in this country illegal, you should be taken out of this country. And if you come back and stand in a queue like I do when I want to go to the Schengen countries where, you know, they ask you everything except a blood sample and a bit of urine DNA, then why, when we as a country that want to enforce law and order, when we do it, we're xenophobic, un-African, unbrotherly. Absolute chamois. Rubbish, nonsense, get out or stay and get a chop. And if you do that, you are welcome. I think we are a very friendly country, but we've got to start becoming righteous. We've got to start taking the bull by the horn, bring justice back, and live in peace. And if we can do that, Bodong, Braai, Chisanyama, Kunsh. I mean.
Thank you. That was Neil de Beer, the president of the United Independent Movement, giving BizNews viewers his weekly dose of comments on local, regional, and international politics. And I am Christine. Thank you, Neil.
Thanks, Chris.